Welcome back, everybody, to the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. Joining me on the line is our draft guru from Adelaide, Jordan Pinto. Jordan, thanks for the chat, mate.
Reece, thanks for having me here. We've finally made it to draft day. A big build-up. So many questions about this draft. You know, last year, 12 months ago, we went in knowing Matt Rail would be pick one. This year is still very much up in the air, so plenty to talk about.
How long's it been, do you think, since we have actually gone into a draft not knowing what would be happening with pick one? I mean, I know you haven't probably got everyone, all the names in front of you, but it is quite unusual, isn't it, that it is now, obviously, you know, the day of the draft and we are still in the dark as to who the standout number one pick's going to be.
Yeah, and it has been a while. It has been a few years, as we know. Last year we've had the likes of Andrew McGrath in the previous years, the clear number ones. And I guess what further complicates this year is with Jamara Ugle-Hagan, obviously widely regarded as the best player, the best kid in the country, is tied to the Western Bulldogs Academy. So that complicates the matter even further on top of the Crows' decision of whether they take a tool or the next game-breaking midfielder.
You're out there talking to the clubs and you're on the beat and reporting rounds. What are you hearing? Are you expecting Adelaide to bid for Ugle-Hagan with pick one or not?
We think they are going to do that. We know the Crows have been strong all along, and they have been for a number of years. You know, they are their talent order, and if Ugle-Hagan is at the top of that, they'll make the bid. They've done it in the past with a number of other players a bit further back in the top 10, but I still expect them to, you know, keep the Bulldogs accountable. He's the best kid in the land, so I think it just makes sense for them to bid on Ugle-Hagan. It might take a bit of pressure on the kid who's coming to SA next, who, you know, we know over here how much spotlight will be on that kid anyway. So taking that spotlight of the number one, it might help him as well.
Well, to not bid on those academy prospects almost makes a mockery of the system, doesn't it? Because if every club said, oh, what's the point? We won't bother bidding. Dogs are going to get him. Then a player like Ugle-Hagan slides all the way out to 50, 60 or 70. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and there would be no club out there, no recruiter who would argue about Ugle-Hagan's spot at the top of the order. So, you know, and we know there's probably a lot of side deals or a lot of you know, good faith, I guess, that goes around in between between recruiters and clubs. But at the top of the order, the Crows keeping the Bulldogs honest and bidding on Jamara at number one, I think, is what we expect tomorrow night.
Always a chance, of course, the Bulldogs just get cold feet and decide not to match the bid, and suddenly the Crowies end up with him. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But Jordan, all right, so pick one. We expect the Crows to launch a bid for Jamara Ugle-Hagan. What happens next? Put the Crows fans out of their misery. Put it on the line, mate. Be clear, be definitive, be certain, and stick with it. Who are they going to select with what will essentially become the number two pick?
Well, we know they've kept their cards close to their chest this year. They've done it in the past. But I think they'll go with the local boy, Riley Fielthorpe. And his selection, it won't be because of the local ties. You know, his rare combination of speed, size, athleticism, skill, and his marking power up forward and his ability to ruck too. We know Tony Bamford, the state coach over here, has compared him to a Brodie Grundy and Dean Cox, even the way he used to get around the ground. So taking Riley Fielthorpe with their first pick won't be because he's local. I think, you know, if a Logan McDonald from WA, we know how good he's been this year. So I've got Fielthorpe just ahead in my player rankings where I rate the talent this year. So the Crows will probably have to have him very similar to McDonald, and I think probably the local angle gets him just over the line. But we know Elijah Hollands, the Crows have done a lot of work with him too over the past 12 months. He's a Crows supporter. He grew up here when his dad Ben Hollands was playing at West Adelaide, and the game-breaking traits in the midfield suit what the club needs perfectly. But, you know, tools like Fielthorpe and McDonald don't come around too often, so I think it'd be one of them. And for me, I think it'd be Fielthorpe.
Okay, so saying that, do you think that then the logical choice for North Melbourne to go with their next pick is to take the other key forward? So if Fielthorpe's gone, then they take McDonald or vice versa, or do you think Hollands comes right into the mix there?
Well, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, a long way out, given after McDonald's finished of the year, you would have said, you know, North would be silly not to snap him up, especially after losing Ben Brown. But a bit floating about, we know at the moment that the game-breaking traits of Hollands have come right into the picture, and North might opt to jump there. And if that does happen, it'll make things very interesting for Sydney at pick four. We know how much they like Denver Granger Barras, key defender from WA. He fits their needs perfectly. But for Logan McDonald on the board, what does Kinnear Beetson and his recruiting team do? That would be a big thing to watch on Wednesday night. But, yeah, McDonald still, you think, is definitely a chance. But, you know, Holland's still right in the mix from what we're hearing.
And Jordan, 2 years ago, Port Adelaide produced the draft of the century when they, of course, had the three first-round picks and went Rosie, Butters and Dersma. They've flown under the radar a little bit this year, given all the attention on crosstown rival Adelaide to get their pick one right. And, of course, the Crows also having pick nine and then a couple in the 20s. But what are you hearing is happening over at Alberton? Obviously, they've got their sights set on Lockie Jones, but are you expecting them to target anyone else?
Interesting one. It probably all depends on where the bid comes for Jones. You know, we, at this point, we probably do expect the Bombers to make a bid with one of their top 10 selections. And if that doesn't happen, then it, you know, a GWS at 13 or 15 is probably the next best. So they're not, Jones is not going to slip too far as much as Port will want him to. Whether they, you know, try to get in and take another player before that, as we know, pick swaps like that happen and happen last minute too. So apart from Jones, you know, that clubs are going to keep list spots open for next year, the supplementary period as well. So whether they, you know, it depends what happens with a, if there's a bid come for Taj Schofield, the father-son prospect later in the draft, whether they match that or you know, take another prospect late. So it could be a pretty quiet draft night apart from Jones, but as we know, what's happened in the previous few years, anything can happen. And with the element of pick swapping in the draft.
You're obviously right across the SA guys over here in the draft pool. What are we expecting from some of the South Australians? Obviously, they've been able to play a little bit of footy, unlike a majority of players in Victoria and interstate. So who can people expect to see landing at their clubs on Wednesday night from Adelaide?
Well, we've spoken a lot about over the past month, Braden Cook from South Adelaide, the bolter over here from SA, match-winning forward from South Adelaide here. He wins games off his own. A lot of interest inside the top 20. Caleb Poulter as well, tall dynamic midfielder who's great in traffic and attacking away from it. He's in the mix for the Crows picks in the 20s, I would have thought. But brings us to another name, Luke Pedler. A lot of Joel Selwood type comparison. Also, Rory Sloane. Glenelg midfielder, tough as nails, breaks tackles, but he's got a nice left foot and it's great around goal too. So there's even some whispers floating around that, you know, the Crows like a Luke Pedler with their second pick because he's probably not going to be available in the 20s. So could the Crows jump at a Luke Pedler, which it could push out to a pick 12 or 13 on draft night? There's a chance that happens. But we also know they do like Reef McInnes, Collingwood Academy prospect as well. You know, he's been playing at either end of the ground in the NAB League in 2019, but clubs see him as that, you know, tall midfielder with some really, really good speed, which, Reece, we know how that much that suits what the Crows are trying to do with their midfield. So it'll probably all come down to whether Collingwood match a bid that early if the Crows were to go that way. But personally, it's hard to see them not matching a bid for a guy with so much potential that's tied to their club.
Toss up between Reef McInnes and Denver Granger Barras for the best name in the top 10 prospects of the draft this year, you'd have to say.
Yeah, there's a few floating around, yeah. I do like Reef McInnes. Yeah, probably can't go past Reef.
Very good. Very quickly, before we wind up, the national draft, of course, on Wednesday night, followed by the rookie in the preseason draft on Thursday. Adelaide expected to walk into Jackson Hatley and take his name very early and secure him from GWS and he can start training straight away. But a little bit of talk about Port Adelaide having a look at Tyson Goldsack. What are you hearing there and do you think it's got legs?
Well, I'm talking to the right man, aren't I? You broke the story here last week in SA and we know he's nominated for the draft and he adds a lot to the group. Whether he has a massive impact on the field and where he plays is probably second to what he can bring with experience. So it's a hard one because you would have said this was a bit of a long shot a couple of weeks ago with all the debate about the list sizes and how many players they can carry through to next year. But you know, in terms of what he can bring off the field, I like it.
Yep, and 33 years old. How old are you?
I'm 31, so I'm still a chance.
Massive chance for you. Look, quickly, I'll let you go so you can go and get your nomination form in before deadline. But thank you very much for joining us. I know this is basically your grand final, isn't it, the draft day. So you bet you can't sleep tonight and you'll be waiting with great anticipation.
Yeah, definitely. And just quickly before I go, I'll throw in one more. We're speaking about mature age prospects, which yeah, could be me in a couple of years. But Jacob Weir, we know mature ages might not get much of a look in around the country. No footy in Victoria. They haven't been able to show off in the VFL, but Jacob Weir, we've tracked him for a long time here in the sample. 22 years old, and there's about six or seven clubs really interested in him now. And what we're hearing, he's probably not going to get past the 40s in the draft. So massive story for him. 2 years ago, even last year, sorry, 2019, he was struggling in the Eagles reserves in the sample. So, and now he could be a top 40 pick in the AFL draft on Wednesday night. So Carlton like him. GWS also with their stack of picks as well. Jacob Beard, probably the best mature agent of the draft.
That's why you're the guru, Jordan. You're breaking all the big stories, mate. So you heard it here first. Well done. Thanks for joining us. And we'll look forward to your coverage on draft night.
Pleasure, mate. Looking forward to it.